Hello, thank you for tuning in to the TryGames.net podcast. It is December 10th on a Sunday. This is episode 29! Wow, we're fucking 29 episodes already. I am here with no Ethan, thank God. But I do have the lovely ladies, Tony.
You got what I need!
And Al.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, that was exciting.
He's so emphatic.
I'm sorry, I'm actually, a little dazed at the moment. There's a shooting game that's being released for the Dreamcast this month.
They're not letting it die.
They're what?
They're not letting that game. They're not letting that system die, which is good. You know, I don't care. I'm glad for it. I'll probably find a way to get it. It's a shooter, right?
Yeah. It's a like an R-type shooter though.
Ikaruga.
But it runs 60 frames per second.
It what?
It runs at 60 frames per second.
We will be talking about, at length, we'll be talking about those stupid Nintendo Wiimote straps that keep on breaking on people.
The Wiitards!
I would say the people that keep breaking Wiimote straps.
The Wiitards!
Yeah, I know, I'm being sarcastic there.
You're so retarded!
But first we're going to go through some very light news, and as usual, what we are playing in our consoles, and since Ethan is gone, but he never plays anything anyway, we won't be missing much there. So, who wants to start?
Let Al start.
Al start.
I will start.
What are you playing?
I am playing Zelda Twilight Princess and Castlevania Portrait of Ruin for the DS. Mm-hmm. And whenever I have about 10-15 minutes, I play some Final Fantasy 1 again.
Sweet.
I play with four white mages.
Final Fantasy 1, the PlayStation version or the Game Boy Advance version?
Game Boy.
Okay.
I'm playing four white mages named Pwn, Pwnzor, Pony, and Pwnstar.
Pwnstar.
And it takes like 10 minutes to fight one battle at this point because I'm like level 8.
Oh my god. How long is it going to take you to beat the game with the four white mages?
Well, being that I don't play it all the time, it's going to take a really long time.
So I'll call you in 2 years.
Well, I don't think it'll be 2 years. I will definitely do that a lot faster than 2 years.
Is that a bet?
Maybe I'll get on a train or something and I'll have
I
2 hours
to play
at once.
That you don't do it.
Hmm?
I bet you a nickel that you don't do it.
Oh, come on. All right. I'm going to be a 10 cent richer soon. Double or nothing.
Eat my balls, bitch, in poker. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a gambler, man.
And I've been playing a little bit of Guitar Hero 2 every so often because this guy, Austin, is better than me.
That's a shame.
What?
That's a real shame. He's better than you.
Well, yeah. I'm better at hitting strings. He's better at hitting buttons.
Well, no, you're better at playing guitar, period.
A real guitar. I can't touch him on the cello, but
that's right.
He can't touch me on the guitar.
Yeah, he can't touch me on drums, so how that?
Huh? Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
That's apples and oranges.
He can't touch me on apples. I can't touch him on oranges.
Yeah.
Testicular cancer.
Can't touch me on grapes.
Yeah.
What?
That's right.
This is going nowhere. God damn it.
See you next week. Episode 30 coming up. And what else are you playing, Al?
Broke open Monkey Ball Banana Blitz.
Oh, my God.
I play my Excitruck. I was on an Excitruck the other day when I was playing it. Totally completed S-Class of... The silver and the bronze. And
so you're actually having fun with that game, then?
Hell yeah, I have fun with that game.
It's exciting.
I guess it is exciting, then.
Well, it's exciting. Somebody likes it's exciting to me.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad somebody likes it.
Anyhow, it's challenging still. And, right now I'm trying to complete the gold class, and then I go to the platinum class, and then you complete the game. But you have to, get all the S classes to unlock different paint jobs for different cars, and then the more races you win, the more cars you unlock, etc., etc., etc.
And the last one is the bling bling class.
The bling bling class.
And then the pimp cup class.
The what?
Pimp cup. How's the music?
I just want to say a little something about Super Monkey Ball.
Yeah.
Now that I actually took time to really play it, I really enjoy the control because. Instead of you moving the analog stick, you're actually twisting your wrist to tilt it left and right. When I first played it, I was actually turning my whole arm or turning the remote, like pointing to different parts of the screen, and it wasn't working.
Right.
I was like, this game sucks! So into the mini games, but then like one day I was like, all right, let me just get into this because I hate not playing the single player of this game.
Right.
And so it's pretty fun.
Oh. The mini games are all unlocked, right? From the beginning?
All the mini games are unlocked.
Okay, cool. I have a question about Excitetruck. How's that music?
I don't know. I have my SD card music.
Okay, because I heard the default music was so awesome. It was awesome. Like, it. And by that, I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, I'm like, sure you are. It's okay.
It's like the worst. Like in metal riffs, like the most like wiggly 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 wiggly, it's like terrible.
Wiggly wiggly wah, wiggly wah,
wiggly wah, wiggly me. I heard it's like the most cliched, played out. Like, let's get on like big hair wigs and pretend that we know how to thrash.
I'm gonna call that one. I'm gonna rock your body, and then in parentheses to the break of dawn. That is so good.
Well, basically. It's not really enjoyable, and you know I like cheesy music like that. Like I like, it's not really cheesy, but the Guilty Gear music is, that's good metal right there.
Right, Guilty Gear metal is metal.
Yeah, it's not Guilty Gear metal. It's really cheesy and not really enjoyable.
Dude, let's just throw in a guitarist and like make him play shit, and then like the kids will like it.
Pretty much. I mean, the only thing I really like out of that whole soundtrack is the title theme song. That's actually pretty good. Like, I'm satisfied that that's the only song in the soundtrack with my DS card in there. I mean, SD card in there.
That's funny.
You know? It's like, just that one song, and then all my music. That's cool. Good soundtrack right there.
And what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to...
stuff.
Final Fantasy III. Which is still too expensive. I don't know. I know what I'm looking forward to. WarioWare in January. I'm going to be all over that.
Oh, yeah, the one that launched in Japan but didn't launch here, along with several of the other virtual console games that totally make our thing look like a pile of shit. What?
Yeah. You know they love Japanese.
Oh, Nihongo desu.
And, well, at least we got... I was going to say, at least we got our Wii first.
This is true. Nani, what are you playing?
Oh, what am I playing? I've been playing, I've been playing some Zelda. Been playing some, whatchamacallit. Oh! New addition to my library, Pikmin 2!
Oh, nice, you got it.
Yep.
Nice.
I got it as soon as I got Family Guy, and it was a paltry $17.99.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, so, awesome game, I gotta say.
It's good.
This time the storyline is not that you, like, crash land on this planet and you gotta get out of there in 30 days. Now you return to your planet and you find out that, your boss, you know, because you're a freighter, you know, you carry freight.
Right.
He took out a bad loan and essentially had to sell your ship, the Dolphin. Okay. So now you got to go with his partner or whatever, this guy, Louie. And now you actually have two people that control Pikmin.
So do you control them both, or do you control one and the other guy just kind of goes off on his own?
Well, no. It's like you could separate them to do different tasks. Mm-hmm. And most points in this game have to have you separate your Pikmin and have your guy Louie, you know, take the Pikmin to one area to do one certain thing, and you know, while you carry the rest of your Pikmin to do something else.
I gotcha. And you know, I heard they got rid of the time limit as well.
What do you mean?
No 30 days.
Yeah, no 30 days. It's totally as long as you want to. And instead of finding parts for ships, you're finding junk, which is great. Okay. And what now? I show disdain towards advertising in video games, but this game is a total advertising whore, okay?
Really?
But it's not just, like, one product. It's a bevy of products, okay? Which makes the game look actually real. Like, for instance, one of the things...
junk that you're picking up is, like, brand name stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like for instance, one of the things that you salvage, that the company pays you, like, 250 credits for, is a Duracell D battery. You know, and it takes like 20 Pikmin to carry it to the ship.
Holy shit.
You know, so it's like, you know, like things like that that I find humorous. A Vlasic pickle jar, jar
Vlasic.
Yeah,
Vlasic.
Exactly.
Vlasic.
And like you know,
Vlasic.
D- the Kiwi shoe polish. Like, it's a overbroad, you know, just like all these advertisements and stuff.
But they do it in a non-obnoxious way, I take it.
Exactly, exactly. It's not like they're, like, you know, sponsored by Pepsi and, you know, you have 7-Up and, you know, everything that is Pepsi, you know?
Or before every day starts, you see they're, like, watching a little TV and the Burger King guy walks across the street.
Exactly, you know, or you know, like, yeah, whatever. It's not like that at all.
Right.
It's really fun, and this time I find it a little bit harder because some of the objectives call for Pikmin. Now, instead of like when I played Pikmin 1, I took like a whole bunch of different kind, like one kind of Pikmin. So I'd like have 100 reds or 100 blues or 100 yellows.
That's racist, son.
Nah. You know, or if I separated it, it'd be 50-50. In this one, there's 5 different Pikmin, so you have to, like, pick and choose which how many you're going to take out for what, you know, and for what tasks. And you got to pretty much plan out your day, which is hard, because you won't know until, like, you clear one objective what the next thing is, and that might call for a different Pikmin that's controlled by somebody else, you know, so... this game features, like, 2-player battle systems, which I haven't tried yet. I would like to. Yeah, but overall it's fun. And then I had Family Guy. And I just gotta say, the controls are fucking god-awful. they're just you get what you pay for if you knew what you were paying, you know? I mean, serious, I knew that it was gonna be bad. It was panned,
you want a Cleveland steamer?
Yeah, no, it was panned by a lot of people, but I gotta say, this game, you know, it was initially going for a T rating. I am so glad they made it an M.
Thank God.
It is fucking funny as hell. I mean, as an episode by itself, this would work. I mean, it's so funny. There's so many different parts in that game that are just so funny. Not to give it away, but, like, you know, Peter's missions, you know, it's a fighting, beat-em-up kind of thing, you know? But it's, like, so debased, you know, and so fucking... it's just... It's retarded.
It's got awful,
you know, it's a banal. It's banal. Okay, you just it's so generic. But the thing is, when you go throughout the missions, he gets hit on the head, and becomes like a different character. And yeah, like he becomes like for instance, do you remember the episode where he dressed up as a prostitute because he lost his job?
What do you want, a Cleveland steamer?
Yeah, so you play him as that. Okay?
Nice.
And he says things
like
yeah, he's. He says things like, I don't kiss on the lips. I'm afraid of falling in love. You know? some shit like that. Or, everybody, free sex with bonus sex. You know? just like little one-liners here and there. And it's just fucking raunchy. You know?
Mom,
it's
don't
very
buy
funny.
This for your son's PS2.
You know, I'm not sure if the PS2 graphics would have been better than the PSPs, but I know the PSPs are just bad.
They are?
So, yeah, they're bad. The lines on the characters, they fade in and out, you know? So, like, instead of, like, being, you know, defining lines, you know, defining graphics, you see static.
Oh, it's kind of fuzzy.
You know, so, yeah, it like, turns into, like, little dots, you know? And, what are you gonna do? I got what I paid for. I found it funny, but, the game's...
How much did the PSP version run you?
The same price as, PS2. $30.
$30? Oh,
yeah.
That's not terrible.
Yeah, no, it's not terrible, and
so,
I think they had to... I'm not sure if it debuted at 50, but maybe they debuted at 30 because they knew they made a shit product.
How long is it?
Well, it depends. It depends on whether you get through the missions, you know, that you know, you have a memory of the missions, and you get through it, like, lickety-split. Because, as for instance, Brian's missions could take you fucking an hour. Okay, of just nonstop trial and error. I'm getting caught again and again and again and again and doing the same fucking thing.
Your first playthrough was around how long, would you estimate?
I would say it's about maybe 10 hours, maybe.
And how much of that 10 hours is filled with you watching the great humor from Seth MacFarlane, and how much of it is filled with button mashing? And
I would say, I would say about, actually not 10 hours, that's very... Very generous.
Okay.
I would say maybe 4 to 5 hours, and out of that, maybe about a good 30 minutes of just like sitcom kind of thing.
I got you.
Not to denigrate that, in that they put a lot of quotes in game.
Okay, I got you. Right.
In game, which was taken from, and I feel it was taken directly from the shows. Okay. Like, for instance, you go to the dressing rooms and, you know, Jesus is on the phone complaining that he got green candies, you know? And he's like, yes, I know. He's like, yes, I got green candies, but I wanted forest green. And, you know, you break into conversation, and he's like, yes, I know I could turn them any color I want, but that's not the point. You know, he's arguing over the green candies, right? And then you go to Trisha Takanawa's room, and she's like, this room was appropriated for a greenhouse because Diane Simmons is a bitch. You know?
Oh, shit.
So, you know, and she says a couple of other things that are funny. One of the most notable is that she goes into Tom Tucker's room, and she's like, I'm here live in Tom Tucker's room because someone left a steaming brown coil on my desk.
Ew.
You know?
Ew.
And she's like, so she goes, you know, so she like waits for a response, and she gets none. She's like, so I think I'm going to respond in kind. And she goes, unzips her pants. It's just like fucking ridiculous.
Wow.
It's just, it's really, really fucking funny.
Okay, but. Whoops, did I mention his name?
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not looking forward to anything.
Oh, bitter old man. Let's see, what have I guess it's my turn.
Oh, do I have to give you a Zelda report?
Yes, in a second. I'll get it from both of you.
Okay.
But so let's see, I have been playing Mounds of Guitar Hero 2, because I went to, and I'll talk about this event that I went to later, but I went to some Guitar Hero event, a fundraiser, and it kind of got me back into it. But, mostly I've been playing Call of Duty 3 for the Nintendo. And I've basically finished it, so I've actually put a review up on the site. I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
I only gave it a 3 because of the fact that it really nails the control. But it's missing multiplayer. The graphics are glitchy. I'm not even complaining about the quality of the graphics. I know that the system is not, like, an HD system, but, like, the bugs and glitches that you see are just inexcusable on any system. The sound is really good, of course. You know, any war game, any World War II game with high production values, the sound is always going to be good, so, you know, whatever. But they, in addition to shooting, you know, with the remote, like, you shoot and you point and shoot and it's fun. But then they added special things in the game, like driving, driving a Jeep, playing, like, tug-of-war with a gun, like when people try to steal your gun from you.
Oh, really?
Like, Nazis will come up to you and try to steal your gun, and you have to, like, do a little minigame there.
Oh, and you have to, like, move the remote to, like, butt them off or something?
And what I believe the way it works in the other consoles is that you use the L and R buttons to kind of, like, you know, mash on them and try to get the gun away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem, without even getting into the Nintendo controls, the problem is the fact that these struggles are scripted. They happen at the same time in the game every time.
Every time. Oh, that
sucks.
You can't
go up to someone and say, hey, Nazi, I want your gun. Let's fight. Right? Mm-hmm. You, it always happens at the same time. So it's like, okay, I'm going to walk into a room and someone's going to jump out and grab my gun and I'm going to have to fight for it. And you know what's going to happen if, like, you've played the game already.
Right.
So you can't just go up to anybody you want and take the gun from them, which is what would have been cool.
And vice versa, which would have been annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and, like, it's just dumb now, and it kind of takes you out of the action. Now, to get to the Nintendo-specific controls, where it gets even worse, it's bad enough that, like, you know, all you're doing is jamming on L and R, but in the Nintendo version, the action is basically, I mean, you have the nunchuck in one hand and the remote in the other, right?
Yeah.
So what you do is you turn them horizontal so that it looks like you're holding a bar in front of you, and, you know, it sounds like it would make sense, and it sounds like it'd be cool, because all you really do is you kind of punch forward alternately with your left hand and the right hand, like you're kind of like you're boxing, right? To kind of simulate the stress and the fatigue that you're going to get from trying to yank this weapon away from this Nazi.
Yeah, right, right.
But the problem, like, while that idea is kind of intriguing, the fact that they don't make it very clear how to exactly do it makes it really annoying. Like, they have these little hand icons on the screen going, punch, 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 right? And you're like, okay, so you're doing it, and it doesn't work. And you try for 20 times until, like, you figure it out. I actually had to go onto a forum on the web and, like, find out how to do it. Specifically, when you hold it, and this is for anyone who has this game and can't get this down, when you hold the controllers, make sure that the analog stick on the nunchuck and the buttons on the remote are facing your chest. They're facing you. So when you're punching, that's the orientation of the controller. The way they have it, the way they drew it on screen, it's not clear at all.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it just like, just turn them sideways and just start punching. No, you actually have to have them exactly in the right position to do it. Once you get that down, it's really easy.
Yeah.
But because of the fact that, like I said, it's all scripted, it's just, like, not intriguing and it's a waste of time.
Right.
I would have liked it better if you could have just gone up to anybody and yanked the gun away from them. Even though this is tiring, like, it's kind of fun.
Or but, if they got close to you, they do the same thing, but right, said, exactly. That might become annoying.
Yeah. The other thing that they have you doing is driving, and that's poor. It's just poor. Basically, they have you hold the nunchuck and the remote as if you were holding a steering wheel.
Oh, no.
So it's like you're at like 10 and 2, right? And so it starts to sound like, oh, you know, that's cool because you're actually making, like, you're turning a steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that it's so goddamn sensitive that, like, one little turn to the left will send your Jeep, like, careening into the fence. It's really bad.
Well, that's just, like, real oriental driving.
Yeah. Oh!
Like the roads of,
like the, shut up, like that. The road, no!
Like the roads of San Juan. the other fucking thing that they have you do is plant explosive charges.
Right.
And there's a three-step process. The first one is you jab the nunchuck forward to insert the charge pin into the bomb. The next thing you do is kind of not rotate, but like move the nunchuck in a circular motion to twist the pin inside the bomb. And then the last step is to yank the nunchuck towards you to simulate pulling the pin out. The only part of that process that works is the circular motion where you're turning the pin. Jabbing forward the nunchuck, like you'll see someone jabbing like 20 times. Fast, slow, short, long, over and over and over again, trying to find, like, how the fuck do I get this to work? And, like, sometimes it would work after one jab, sometimes it would take, like, 20. It was so inconsistent that the fact that you had to do it again, but in reverse to pull the pin out, made it even more aggravating. And not even – let's forget about the fact that the motion controls for that section sucks. Let's just talk about the gameplay mechanic in and of itself. When you plant the charge in any of the console versions, when you plant the charge, it takes you totally out of the shooting action.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like – it's just not exciting. You basically could sit there all day, like, and not plant the charge. Just sit there with the bomb on the thing that you're supposed to plant the charge on and just sit there. You can leave the console on, go get lunch, come back, and you won't die. Because the action stops entirely when you're planting this charge. So it's just like, okay, this is not exciting at all. Mm-mm. It's really dumb. And the funny thing is, there's some mini games that work really well. There's this one where you're trying to aim a mortar cannon at, like, some tanks coming towards you. And, like, when you aim a cannon, you're not just, like, pushing it. Like, you actually have to turn a crank to change the angle at which it's going to fire.
Right.
And then, you know, left or right.
Right.
They simulate that with the nunchuck and the remote. Like, you're actually moving the crank. You're moving the nunchuck and the remote in cranking motions to, like, change the angle and the, you know, direction of the shot. And it works really well. It's really responsive. Except it only happens once during the game.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing, rowing, is, you know, obviously it works as planned. Like, all you do is hold the remote and nunchuck together like you were holding, like, an oar.
Mm-hmm.
And you just row. You just stab downwards and you just row, and it works really well. Again.
Did you try to do alternate rowing?
No. It's scripted, so you just go forward once. You just go forward. But the thing is that it's taking place, like, during a firefight, so you're sitting there, like, rowing your ass off trying to get to the other side of the creek. And it's again, the only problem, it takes place once during the game.
Mm.
Oh.
So the two parts that are fun and work well take place once. And the parts that are shit, playing the bomb,
they take place a lot.
They take place, like, a zillion times. It's like, hello, what the fuck, you know? So that's, you know, that's...
Well, they figure practice makes perfect.
Shut up. But overall, I mean, the reason why you would play this game is because it really does nail the first-person shooting well. It does.
Okay.
I tried playing Call of Duty again on my PC, and even though, it was kind of like going back home and, you know, it was comfortable, at the same time, I kind of missed the ability to just point anywhere I wanted to and shoot the living crap out of a Nazi, you know? It's kind of liberating a little bit, using the remote. And even though you have to, you know, kind of slam your aiming reticle against the side of the screen to make the guy turn, it works well. It works okay, and it works a lot better than I've heard Red Steel works.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm gonna rent or something or borrow that game at some point to see how that works, but I think from what I've seen, Call of Duty really nails it really well.
Yeah.
And the problem is the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Well, so it's about 10 hours. It's a good rental. I would not recommend buying it, but at least playing it just to see what the system is capable of. And that's pretty much all I've been playing this week, just to try to get that finished for review. Actually, I've been playing a lot of Age of Empires on the DS, but I spoke about that at length like a long time ago. That game continues to be good. If you have a DS and you're done with Advance Wars, pick this game up because it is really good.
And it's cheap now.
It's cheap now, too, yeah. And some people say, some critics have said that it's better than Advance Wars. I'd have to play Advance Wars again, but I wouldn't be surprised if I agreed with them in the end. It's really good, so if you like turn-based strategy, pick that up. What am I looking forward to? Twilight Princess on GameCube. But first I have to beat Ocarina of Time, so.
Oh, okay.
We'll see about that.
We'll see you next December for that review.
Yeah, seriously. Speaking of Zelda, Tony and Al, both of you have the Wii version of the game and have been playing it, I assume.
I never heard of that console.
Huh? The Revolution? Huh? So, I'd like you to give your Zelda reports, your impressions, how you guys feel about it so far. You guys can fight to see who goes first.
The controls
Tony.
Suck!
Controls are
there,
fine.
There, I said it. Controls suck.
Okay,
controls
so
are fine.
Controls suck.
Controls are fine.
Controls
okay,
suck.
So,
controls are
so,
fine.
Controls
ladies,
suck.
Ladies,
learn to play.
Ladies.
Learn to play.
Tony.
Yes.
Tony, why are you too stupid to handle the controls? And after you go, Al, why are you humping Nintendo so hard that the controls work so well?
I'm not humping anybody.
Uh-huh, right.
And I'm not stupid.
Sure you're not. Okay, go ahead, Tony, first. Why is the control questionable?
I know where you live, Austin.
Yeah, I know where you live, too.
Yeah, don't go to sleep.
Marcy, son, what?
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 Huh? Go,
so, anyway,
go.
Anyway, like, one of the problems that you illustrated as far as the jabbing motion with the nunchuck on the, Call of Duty, well, Zelda has a similar thing when you get the skill where you could use the shield to jab.
Uh-huh, the shield jab, right. The shield
okay,
jabs.
So essentially what it tells you to do is to take the nunchuck and jab it forward.
Mm-hmm.
But as you also know, the nunchuck also controls the spin move.
Mm-hmm.
So if you jab forward at an angle, you do a spin move. So you gotta like be precise and jab forward, you know, and don't shake it up and down, but jab forward.
Jab
you know?
Forward as opposed to not jabbing forward like they tell you to.
Yeah, so what what was that?
Nothing. Go ahead. You'll hear it when you edit it, go ahead.
I don't like you anymore.
I never liked you.
Yeah.
You never liked me either.
Yeah. What?
Well, I need to interrupt. I'm very happy to know that the Shield Bash is still in the game because they talked about it at E3, and when the game released, I saw nothing of it, and I said, but my Shield Bash! So I'm happy to hear it's still in it.
Okay, continue, Tony.
Yeah, anyway, so I just figured out that instead of, like, jabbing the nunchuck, just turn the nunchuck 90 degrees, you know, facing the sky, and kind of, like, just shake it like a maraca, and it works.
That's
like
good.
One.
Well,
there
you go.
It'll fly out of your hand if you're a fucking retard. You know? But,
yeah, well, shoot, that's what most of these people are who broke their wrist straps.
Okay, thanks for lumping me in, you fuck.
What, you broke your wrist strap?
No!
So then, I'm not
No, I'm talking
you.
About the nunchuck, man!
Well, F the nunchuck. I don't have a wrist strap.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so
anyway,
it
looks like you found an alternative that works well, though. So
yeah, it works really well. Unfortunately, I still get this lag for the spin move. So, like, I'll be swinging my sword with my right hand and stuff like that, just, like, swinging away. And in the heat of battle, I want to do a spin move just to knock down a group of enemies so I could do my finishing move, mm-hmm. right? And here I am, shaking it like a retard.
Interesting.
You know, I'm pretty disappointed at the lagging controls. But other than that, it's a fantastic game. I mean, like, as far as Zelda goes, it's Zelda. And
right.
I really like it, but wish the controls were as responsive as Raving Rabbids. And...
Oh, wow, Raving Rabbids is more responsive than that?
Oh, Raving Rabbids was perfect. The controls were dead on, man. And, you know...
Oh, that's
a
shame.
Yeah, they had different minigames, which, you know, you had to utilize different things on your Wii remote to do, and not one of them was flawed. It was
right.
just fantastic.
And so Zelda doesn't pull that sensitivity quite off quite
as doesn't.
Well? No,
it doesn't. And maybe Al doesn't realize it, but there is a split-second delay when you draw your sword. You have to move the Wii remote, and then it comes out. You know, like...
Well, yeah, that I've heard about. That I've heard about as intentional from a lot of critics. I don't know, because I haven't played it, but I've heard that was by design.
I don't even know why. But, in any case, why? I guess if you, like, you know, have convulsions when you're playing the game, you know, that might become a problem.
I think the sensation they were going for, like, shaking the remote to draw your sword, is just that. Like, you actually draw your sword.
Right. Okay.
Because in the other Zeldas, you had to press
B to... But with
swinging
the sword, it's the same thing. Yeah. With swinging the sword, is the same thing. Slash...
But I kind of remember, and I could be mistaken, but, like, in playing Ocarina of Time, like, you don't automatically unsheathe your sword. Like, when you... When you press a button to draw it.
Right.
And you press the same button to slash, so it's the same thing.
Right.
So, I mean, like, I don't know if that's...
No.
It really isn't an issue.
There's still a split second. And my complaints about the spin move, I'll retain that till the end, you know? But anyway, I'm about 16 hours into it.
So that means you completed half of the first dungeon.
Exactly. So
this game is supposed to be, like, a zillion hours long, yeah.
Yeah, it's huge, man. I thought, once I got the, the three things, the map would get smaller. Instead, it got bigger. It got huger. Okay? And I was like, oh, shit! You know? And not only that, especially when you get to the Zora's,
Don't say anything! Don't spoil anything for people listening out there.
I'm not spoiling.
Or Al.
Yeah, there's Zoras in every game.
Yeah,
I could
Zoras
tell.
Every,
okay.
You know, it,
because
there's
always...
Wait. I didn't know what he was about to say.
Hold on. Austin?
What?
Ocarina of Time. What are the three elements that you have to get before you break open the Master Sword?
Right, I realize I didn't hear what he said. I'm saying don't spoil it. Just make sure he doesn't say anything that spoils it. That's all.
Oh, right. I know.
I'm just saying.
I did
not hear what he said, so...
Yeah,
continue.
I'm talking about sheer size of the game, Mr. Spoiler Alert.
I'm just making sure people will kill you. Well, actually, no. Go ahead and spoil stuff. That'll be
nice. The two people that are listening won't be disappointed. Trust me.
Well, they're not Germans anymore. You bigot. Did you apologize to the Germans yet?
Yeah, I did. On
okay.
the podcast.
That's nice.
Very,
okay, go ahead.
Go
ahead.
Sarcastic way. So, anyway, just to give you a sheer scope and size, if you played Ocarina of Time and went into Zora's temple, you know how big that fucking thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this one's just as big and a little more confusing, and there's a lot you have to do. So it literally takes 2 hours to get the hell out of this place, you know, on your first run through. It's ridiculous, you know. The other temples aren't walk in the park either. They're huge. Right. All the temples I've been to, they're huge. You know, and it's not a linear path. You got to go here. You got to go back. You got to, you got to backtrack here. There's a secret you missed over here. Oh shit! Now I got this. Now I can use it.
Now,
you know,
is it
this area?
Is it good huge then, or is it just like Jesus Christ? I can't stand this huge.
It's almost like if this is supposed to be the smallest temple, I don't want to see the largest one. if this temple right now is six floors, I don't want to see
Holy
the 15
shit.
Floor one. I don't. You know, especially if it's like, if it's any indication to, like, original Legend of Zelda, Death Mountain. You remember when you get into the Death Mountain thing? That's a big skull map.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge, the hugest dungeon in the thing. And it took, like, all these different times because some of the trapdoors just, trap you and you feel like you're going in circles and shit like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just beat that
one. If the last fucking temple on this game, okay, takes you, like, 10 hours just to clear, I might as well put the game down now. I don't think I have the stamina. I don't.
Well, that's why you take it in baby steps.
There is no baby steps in this game.
Baby steps to the temple.
Yeah.
Baby steps for the first key.
And not only
baby
that,
steps
this game has
weapon.
Mini games too. It has different things you could search for. It's just really, really overbroad. I can't even... I feel small. Very small, very lonely, playing this game, you know?
Well, you know, they
very
have
small,
things
very
that you can
lonely.
Use to make yourself feel bigger.
The what?
They have things that you can use to make yourself feel bigger.
I guess you don't want to
I was
feel
waiting
bigger.
For the punchline, I'm sorry.
There's
oh,
no punchline.
You missed it. Sorry, there's a short bus that I can direct you to.
There's a what?
Never mind. Short bus.
Okay, Al, your side of the story. Why is the control not sucky?
Because when you shake the remote, he slashes. When you shake the remote, he slashes again. I don't see any delay. If I want to go hit something, I'll walk up to it, and I shake the remote, and he goes, yeah! And that's it. I mean, maybe I'm just a little too relaxed.
Are
to
you,
notice.
Like, shaking it violently?
No, I just go...
Just to the side, like that.
Yeah, you know,
well, that's
I,
the same
like,
thing I do, and it's not working!
Huh? Are your batteries full?
Yeah, of course.
It's the batteries
I don't
now.
Know. But basically, I run around, and even if I'm, doing those sequences as the wolf.
Right.
Where you got to get rid of all the guys.
I find a wolf very easy to control.
It's the same thing.
Not really.
To me, it is. All it is. I mean, you're basically, you know, acting like you're slashing a sword, but instead of slashing a sword, it jumps forward and bites.
Then again, I'm primarily using the A button just to jump into enemies, because that's a stronger attack.
Okay. Yeah, I try not to do that much, because, I don't know, I like to go slash, 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 and then have the dog jump around, and then if I really want to, like, get into somebody, I'll press A, and then jam on the A to keep biting at his throat.
Yeah, yeah, I like that, too.
Yeah.
So,
except when you got three enemies around you.
But, yeah, I don't see too much of an issue with that, but I do like a lot of the nostalgia they throw at you. They have these things where you can learn the secret moves like the shield bash, and in order to get that, you have to howl a certain theme, and
yeah,
the first
cool.
theme that you find is actually from Majora's Mask.
Oh, interesting.
And it was, yeah, it's the Song of Healing that you learn in order to heal different things to get the masks, the main mask you get in the game. And so, you howl that theme. It was really cool.
So, yeah. With that all, and you know, given all that, how is the nunchuck control? Since Tony doesn't like the jabbing forward, how do you find it?
Oh, I move it left and then right, and he spins.
Huh?
It's no problem at all.
Say that again.
He moves the nunchuck left and then right, and then he spins. What about the shield move? I didn't get it yet.
Oh, okay.
But
so, it's probably gonna. Is it the second secret move you get?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, it is because the other one is
The first one's the finishing move.
Yeah, the first one's finishing, the next one's the jab, and the other one I'm not gonna spoil.
Okay, so
The responsiveness, what is your take on that?
What?
The responsiveness of the nunchuck.
It's fine to me. I don't have any problems with getting the moves out when I want to get them out. Mm-hmm. At all. I would have definitely said something by now.
I think I should put you and Tony in a room. Fight.
With two different Wiis, remember that.
Yeah.
Say two different Wiis.
You know.
And how many hours in?
9.5
9.5 Jeez, this thing is freaking
long. Dude, and I have to.
And listen, 16 hours, I'm nowhere near close to like the next objective, which was after the first three that you have to pass, you know, just to like open up the rest of the game. Nowhere near. I can't do it. I don't have the time. I really don't.
Oh, man. Poor Tony.
Al, what do you think about the vastness of this game?
Well, I really, all I know is that there's a little bit of the map that I've explored so far, and right now I'm in Kakariko area.
Yeah.
And I was in the overworld in the field, and I'm like, wow, this place looks kind of big, and there's that castle over there.
Yeah.
But I can't get there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I press number one to look at the map, and I'm like, holy crap, that little dot is me, that little arrow is me, and that's the world?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if that map gets bigger, I'm going to cry, but I'm going to cry and enjoy, though.
It's true, man, and that's not withstanding the dungeons you have to visit. This game is gigantic. Oh, I don't know. I don't have the time.
What do you mean you don't have the time? You don't freaking... have the time.
Listen.
Have the time.
Yeah, I don't have the time. Okay,
yeah,
I have things to do.
Like play Family Guy?
Like sword.
Like sword?
Yeah, sword. That's
sword?
My job. I sort.
Oh, you're sorting. Right,
yeah.
You're sorting your email. All right, that's it for the Zelda report. I'm going to tell you guys about an event that I went to last week on Wednesday. It was called Fundraiser, spelled F-U-N-D-E, Razor, as in razor blade.
Mm-hmm.
And this was for Penny Arcade's Child's Play Charity. What Child's Play Charity is basically the guys at Penny Arcade who make that webcomic, when they got big and, you know, they got recognized, they started this charity to send cash, toys, books, and video games to kids in hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So that instead of just sitting there while they're sick watching TV all day, they have something else to do. And it's been really successful in the past couple of years. And last year, a gentleman by the name of Joel Johnson, who used to be with Kotaku, I believe, or Gizmodo, one of the Gawker media sites, started up this thing in Barcade, which is in Brooklyn, I believe. I don't know how close it is to you, Tony, but it used to be by your old apartment, Al.
Yeah.
I mean, it is by
like
your
Bushwick.
Old apartment. Yeah. And It's basically a bar with a bunch of arcade games in it, and what he did was he brought his PlayStation 2 over, he set up a big projector with Guitar Hero, he brought a whole bunch of prizes to raffle off to raise the money for, you know, for this charity. Meanwhile, people got to come and drink and play Guitar Hero in a bunch of, like, you know, in front of a whole bunch of people, and apparently it was a blast. They raised $1,600 last year. This year, they did a similar thing, and he raised, I believe, over $2,000. In raffles, and the prizes for this raffle were freaking awesome. They were custom-made guitars for Guitar Hero were made using real guitar shells.
Oh, wow.
So, like, it basically looked like a real guitar, but had all the buttons on it needed to play Guitar Hero, and obviously didn't have the strings. And, yeah, that raised over $2,000, and this time, obviously, they brought Guitar Hero 2 instead of Guitar Hero. And there were long lines to play it. There was a free play from 8 to 10 o'clock. I went outside and interviewed Joel. Well, me and this other website, this other independent website called Snack Bar Games, they're pretty cool. We both interviewed him. I got the footage up, and I'm going to upload it to the website. When I came back, it was like about 8:30, and I didn't get my turn. And the line was, I don't know, it was packed in there, and I didn't get my turn until about like 9:50. Which was 10 minutes before, like, they were scheduled to start the raffle, and so everybody was kind of getting testy because they were like, "Oh, we're not going to get to play," but they actually extended it till 10:30. Then there was a tournament after the raffle. This guy known as TigerHawk310 on YouTube was really good. He has 5-starred every song except for 6, Jordan and Miserloo, whatever.
Yeah.
And he was pretty much dead on for the entire tournament. Like, no one stood a chance.
Wow. Not even you.
Well, I didn't enter because I was interviewing the guy, and I missed my chance to enter. I probably would have been runner-up.
Wow. That good, huh?
This guy was really good. The problem was that the tournament format was the first round was medium, second round and third round were hard, and you didn't hit expert until the final round. So being someone who's really good, I would assume that he did not play the game at all on medium, easy, or hard.
Right.
So, you know, that kind of takes a little learning, even if you're really good, because, like, When you lower the level of challenge to that level of medium, one slip-up on your part is a huge advantage for the person who's not as good but still can do medium well.
Right.
So, like, he was afraid that he was going to lose, and I'm like, dude, you're walking away with that DS Lite. There's no way you're losing. You know, he did. He nailed every song, and then Freebird was the last song of the contest, and, you know, he pretty much did that pretty well, too. But the whole thing ended at around – well, it was still going on when I left. I left at around 1. Yeah, I mean, it was just a fun time. You know, people got together, they played Guitar Hero, and you know, because a lot of these people were somewhat casual, they weren't exactly hardcore gamers, like, they, you know, they just had fun listening to people playing the music. They didn't care about, like, how difficult it was or, you know, the notes, like, what notes they were playing. Like, when a solo got pulled off really well, no matter what difficulty, everyone was cheering. It was just a good time all around. And hopefully we get to go cover it in more detail next year. It sounds like this guy is going to do it every year. And it's for a good cause. So if you're in New York, all two of you who are listening, and you're not afraid to go into Brooklyn, which you shouldn't be, and, you know, you like Guitar Hero, and you like bars, and you're over 21, you know, you should come by. It's probably going to do it in November next year. So with that, let's move on to the news! We've only got a few topics that we care to talk about, because we've gone on for quite a while. But the first big news, and this is for PlayStation 3 and PSP owners, is that PlayStation 1 games are now available for download on the Sony store. Now, the caveat is, it's available for download for the PSP. But you need a PS3 to get it to work. And when you download it to your PS3, you can't play it on your PS3. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, the PS3 is backwards compatible with PlayStation 1 discs. Why do I care if it doesn't work on my PS3? The whole point is to get it on my PSP so I can play it on the toilet. Well, wouldn't it be nice that if you didn't have a certain game on disc and it was rare, but it was available on the store, that you could download it and play it on your PS3? It would be nice, but you can't do it.
Well, at least for $600, I would have hoped so.
Yeah, for $600, you would have hoped so. And the thing is that the process is so laborious. You download it to your PS3, which takes a long time. Then you take it from your PS3 and put it on your PSP, which takes even more time. And then you got to make sure that you have a memory card that's big enough to hold the games in there.
Exactly. So you got to go out and buy a gig or a 2-gig card.
Right. Now, fortunately, the prices for memory cards are dropping. But I'm And I'm assuming that it's not too much trouble to do the little shuffle where, oh, my memory card's out of space, let me delete it from the memory card and just keep it on my PS3 and download the new game. That's not a problem, but I've heard reports from other critics, like on GameSpot's podcast, Jeff Gerstmann, who's one of the editors there, was saying that like it took him like half an hour to download the game and then half an hour to transfer it over to the PSP.
Right.
Nice.
Now, nice. No, actually, I could be wrong. He might have been talking about the Xbox 360 downloads of television shows, but I'm pretty sure he was talking about the PSP, PS3 connectivity thing. So,
I could imagine because 535 megabits for Tekken 2, that's going to take a while.
Yeah. The thing is that, you know, the pricing is actually pretty good. Like, games like Crash Bandicoot, which aren't great, but they're, you know, they're still kind of the first classic games for the PlayStation. But yeah, the PlayStation 1 games download for about $5. No, I'm sorry, for about $6. So Crash Bandicoot comes out for $6, whereas, like, a virtual console game, an NES game, comes out for $5, and a Super Nintendo game comes out for $8. And, I mean, we're talking about the next generation of hardware up from the 16 and 8-bit era. So, you know, even though, like, it's the gameplay that counts and the quality of the game that counts, like, it's still pretty impressive that you're getting a PlayStation 1 game for cheaper than you can get a Super Nintendo game, to me.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's the least they could do for selling you a $600 console.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but, I mean, yes. I mean, that's the big gripe. You know, you have to pay $600. But the whole point is that the service itself, you know, is fairly priced. I mean, I imagine that at some point, if they know what the hell's good for them, that they'll get the service up and running on the PSP, so you don't need to use a PS3 as an intermediary, although you can never be sure. But if they get that to work, the whole point is that the service offers the product for a fair price. Whether or not you want to play Crash Bandicoot, though, is another issue.
Right. Ricky Bobby!
Talladega Nights! Oh, boy. But, yeah, the reports are that they look pretty decent on the PSP. And my question is how the control schemes work. So, we'll have to see how that works out. If any of you did own a PS3, would you take advantage of this?
No, absolutely not. Because,
really?
Because
there's no multiplayer.
Yeah, not only that, you just hit the nail right on the head. So, if you have a game that utilizes the L2 and L2, R2 buttons, well, how the hell are you going to play that on a PS3?
Yeah, that's a good question.
On PSP, sorry.
That's a good
question. So, I mean, like, what you're going to have to, like, put another button algorithm in there, you know, just to play a game that
yeah,
you
they
might play.
They'll probably have, like, a shift button or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
that's
a lot of the times when GameCube ports for PS2 and Xbox games came out, like, with games like SSX3, they had to limit the amount of tricks you could do because the tricks are all based on the shoulder buttons.
Right.
And sometimes sometimes single button presses, because the PS2 and the Xbox had 4 extra buttons and the GameCube only has 3, they would use that Z button as, like, a shift. So I could imagine they might do something, but then, like, the home button is too far. Not the home button, I'm sorry. But, like, all the other buttons on the bottom of the thing are way too far away.
Yeah.
I could imagine playing something like Crash Bandicoot, but other stuff. Like, and it's really a shame because I actually would take advantage of it if, you know, it had enough buttons. I definitely would. Like, if it's a game like Final Fantasy VII... I'm pretty sure that would work just with those buttons. Like, it wouldn't... Like, that I would definitely get. Like,
that I would, too.
Even though I don't love that game. Like, it's still good enough for me to get.
Because I think the L2, R2 buttons control the camera, right? Oh, wait. That'll be a problem.
For Final Fantasy VII, though?
Yeah.
How much camera work do you really need?
Was to rotate the camera.
Yeah, but it's not... You don't need that much. I mean, but that's like saying, I liked one little extra thing that we don't really need.
Right.
Okay. You can always map it to the analog stick as well. So something like Final Fantasy VII that doesn't need all that many buttons, that is less action intensive, yeah, that would work fine. But Metal Gear Solid, no.
No.
That, I don't know. But what about you, Al? Would you take advantage of it if, you know, if you had a PS3 or if one happened to drop into your lap and not break your pelvis?
Or not break itself? No, because I don't like these games.
Oh. Not even for Chrono Cross?
Oh! You're saying all the out of all the possible PlayStation
games? Yeah, that's
games,
what I'm saying. Like, not just now, obviously, because we just launched. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Well, I have Chrono Cross, so I don't care.
Okay.
And then I would also have to have a PSP fly into my lap and not break.
Oh, that's right. You still need a PSP. Given that you had one.
If I had a PSP and I was luxurious enough to have a PS3, would I take advantage of this? No.
Okay. No, I mean, that's fair, because, I mean, if you still...
I'll tell you why. No, I'm
that's fair, because you probably have all the game. You probably still have all the games that you would want to play from the PS1 era.
That's for one. Right. Second, 535 megs going down a DSL pipe is not fun.
Right, right, right. I'm hoping that they will compress these games, because some of them are coming out for like 100 meg and less. Right. So, I mean, it's doable, but according to some people, Tekken 2's cinematics ate up a lot of bandwidth, and that, you know, that's just not smart on their part, especially when the resolution of the PSP screen is lower, and they could always they could always dumb down the resolution and then have, but I don't know. I would probably take advantage of it when some games that I still don't own for the DS1 come out. Like, if that game Threads of Fate came out, I would get it. I was looking on eBay for Threads of Fate, one of those old Squaresoft random games with Squaresoft.
Oh,
was like a zillion.
Yeah, that game. Doom Prism.
Yeah, Doom Prism. The old X Doom Prism, yeah. But, you know, things like that. Yeah, I would take advantage of it. But again, I would be a little bit leery of the memory card space constraints. But I'd be willing to put up with it. Moving on. The Wiimote trigger prompts a lawsuit. Okay. Remember how the dual.
Not the lawsuit you're thinking about.
Huh?
Not the lawsuit you're thinking about.
It's the Wii Tarts! Yay!
The what? But, yeah, this is a lawsuit wherein some company called Interlink Electronics claims that Nintendo stole the design for their remote.
Uh-huh.
Because it has a trigger underneath. And it has, like, a couple of buttons on the top. Now,
why don't they just get sued by Smith & Wesson, too? That has a trigger on the bottom.
But it's not an electronic device.
It doesn't matter. They can make one.
What?
Well, they can't make one now. They had to make one before February 2005.
Let's take a look at some of what they're saying. Interlink Electronics Incorporated, a California company that specializes in the design and manufacturing of interface devices, on Monday filed a complaint against Nintendo's U.S. subsidiary, Nintendo of America, accusing it of patent infringement. Interlink's products include devices to assist in PowerPoint presentations, conference room keyboards, and portable speakers. Interlink filed its complaint, first reported by Kotaku, in the U.S. District Court in Delaware. The complaint alleges that the trigger on the bottom of the Wii controller infringes on Interlink patent number 6,850,221, which is trigger-operated electronic device, which the company secured on February 1, 2005. Nintendo President Satoru Iwata first presented the Wii controller to the public not too long after that date during the 2005 Tokyo Game Show. That was more like September, which is just 7 whole months. But I'm pretty sure, like, and this is just me saying, I'm pretty sure that Nintendo secured its patent pretty early on. So I don't think this company has shit to do with this thing. The drawings that accompany the patent application, first filed on September 17th, do look suspiciously similar to the Wii Trigger, but in the filing, Interlink offers scant detail of exactly how Nintendo currently infringes on the patent, stating only that Nintendo has made, used, offered for sale, and sold in the United States, and continues to make, use, offer for sale, and sell in the U.S. one or more controllers, which activities infringe, induce others to infringe, and contributorily infringe the 221 patent. The complaint seeks a jury trial and damages to determine the amount of loss of reasonable royalties, reduced sales, and or lost profits as a result of the infringing activities. The lawsuit brought by Interlink recalls the legal wrangling of Microsoft and Sony found themselves when Immersion brought lawsuits against those two console giants. Okay, listen. The Immersion thing is different. They used Immersion technology. They used their entire technology. They took it and they put it in their controllers. How can you patent a button on the underneath of a controller?
I don't know. But it seems like you can.
It's bullshit because the N64 had a button on the underneath of its controller. Like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Somebody actually said that. Didn't Nintendo have a trigger on the bottom of the N64 controller?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nintendo should kind of sue saying they had the trigger first. And Alexander Graham Bell should sue everyone for making phones. And then whoever invented the wheels should travel to the future to sue everyone for making inventions.
It's all bullshit to me. It's this company sees that Nintendo's being successful and they want to make money off of it. And you notice how they didn't bother to file this until after the console freaking shipped 600,000 units in the States on the first day. Instead of saying, when the Tokyo...
Because they need a figure to sue for.
Yes.
Right. I mean, obviously this... It's dumb. It's retarded. Even though, like, Sony took the Immersion Rumble, I still thought that was kind of dumb. I mean, I think that, yes, Sony could have used other measures to use Rumble on their controllers. Mm-hmm. And the stupidity is on them for not just paying Immersion to go away, which Microsoft did do. But, I mean, like, I don't know. It's just stupid to me that, like, you know, patenting something, like, small like this and then not being specific with how your patent's being infringed upon is just, ugh. I don't know. Plus, this remote looks really ugly. I mean, don't you think that a bunch of touchscreen manufacturers could have... I don't know. I'm getting into territory that I'm not familiar with here, so I'm just going to shut up now, but I just think this is stupid. Anyway, next up, and this will lead into our main topic, broken wrist straps for our beloved...
Retards!
This is, again, from GameSpot. The console's motion-sensitive controller, affectionately dubbed the Wiimote by Nintendo loyalists, is used by mimicking the motions of the game played. In the Pac-In Wii Sports game, for example, players make the motion of a golf swing in the golf minigame, which is then translated to on-screen. Ditto for bowling, baseball, sword-slashing, and boxing. All that secures the TV remote-shaped controller to players' hands is the Wii Strap, a standard loop of cloth attached to the base of the controller by a thin cord. However, numerous reports have sprung up that the cord is breaking, sending the controllers flying out of the sweaty hands of gamers, and into high-priced electronics, living room furniture, and the occasional innocent bystander. What are your thoughts on this?
Jesus.
You sound exasperated.
You know, Jesus. Okay, let me just put it this way. I've been playing games for some odd, you know, going on to like 20 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've had the occasional handle drop. Mm-hmm. And the handle did have a wire which was attached to the system. Mm-hmm. Okay. And most likely if they did have a motion sensor thing, but my handle was still corded to the thing, and it dropped, it would have dropped on the floor. Not at my TV. Not at my ceiling fan. Not at someone's eye. You know?
Well, the thing is that, I mean, this is not just dropping. I mean, when you're playing Wii Sports
and
you're swinging...
No, I totally understand. Okay, I'm just being silly. I'm being silly, you know? Like, usually when I drop something, it falls downwards, you know, as gravity would have it. So if you're, like,
gravity
throwing,
would have it.
if you're, like, throwing or, say, launching your handle and you don't have a sure grip, okay? After all these years of playing, I have a sure grip. I've never had a problem with this. I never will, okay? I have a sure grip. I know how to hold stuff, okay? If you're new to holding a handle or, you know, maybe you want to take precautions and, like, get a staple gun and put, you know, staple it to your hand, you know? Maybe that'll help, you know? But as far as this goes, what we have here is a bunch of people who are just stupid and want to blame somebody because they just did something really, really fucking dumb. Okay? Hey, listen, we seen it on America's Funniest Home Videos. Kids with bats, they take a swing, they let go of the bat, it goes into the patio window. What are you going to sue? Fucking, Louisville Slugger because of this bullshit? You know? Oh, they should have put a strap on the bat. No! You just get a short fucking grip, you retard!
And then they're
going
to sue Louisville Slugger with the strap because when they try to drop the bat to run the bases, they hit themselves in the balls.
Exactly! Yeah, like, try putting the bat down while you're running. It'll hit you in the shin. But it's ridiculous,
no. Okay?
It's dumb. Even if the strap is breaking, it's breaking because you're an animal. there's no legal recourse.
Wait.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but I just went to wehaveaproblem.com.
Right.
Again,
yeah.
And somebody threw a remote through an LCD TV and a safety screen at the same time.
That's got. I don't believe.
Okay,
that.
Now
that's
you see that.
I think
just,
they're doing that for the website.
Yeah, I think maybe
they,
as
they have
Ethan
to be.
Brought this up last week. Maybe it's a touch-up picture. Maybe there's a bunch of people sensationalizing this shit, and I think that's what it all comes down to. Mm-hmm. I think out of the actual claims of people who have maybe injured themselves, all by mistake, because it has to be a mistake. You won't throw somebody, you know, throw something in someone's face on purpose, okay? So we're not talking that these people did something on purpose, like went to their little brother and said, "Hey, look," and held on to the strap while they, like, flung the handle and the strap broke, you know? And now that becomes, like, negligence, okay?
I'm just telling you what I see here. I'm not trying to say that this is real, but somebody has a Wii remote stuck into a CRT. albeit it's on the side, but it's funny because it looks like they just like threw it and like a knife and went straight through the plastic. Nice. You have to go to this site and look at it. It's hilarious.
For anybody listening, the website is wehaveaproblem.com, and the we is spelled W-I-I. Yeah, they do have a problem.
And it's the third picture. It is hilarious.
Al, what are your thoughts on this whole shebang, this whole phenomenon of controller throwing?
I can, the easy way of saying it is just ditto Tony. But I'm just going to just talk a little bit about people who don't understand how to control themselves. And, this is mostly from watching this website, and I don't know if people doing it on purpose. Like, because now there's a public venue for it, and you can be an internet star for, a minute because you broke your TV or your Wii. And this, yeah. Anyway.
Like the new mobile guy.
But they had this one video where this guy was serving in Wii tennis, and he threw the remote into the wall. The TV was up on the ceiling.
Oh, jeez.
Well, up higher on the wall. Mm-hmm. And he puts his arm up like he's sure, Like, he throws his arm up, and he slams the remote down like he's trying to hit the ball at, 80,000 miles an hour, and lets go of the remote. Pops the strap, and it goes right into the wall. And if everybody's doing it like that, then I can understand. Yeah. And then they have this other video of this girl, and she's like, it's right here on the front page, actually. The one that says, Barbara Bush finds a new face for Just Say No campaign. This girl is insane. She's like throwing the remotes back and forth, doing the boxing, going at it, just crazy. Like she's trying to bum rush somebody, and then the nunchuck flies out of her hand, and then she's like holding it up, trying to pick it back up, and it's just all disorganized, and what the hell?
I want to comment on this fucking picture. This is impossible. How does a fucking Wii remote go through the plastic siding of a TV? What is it? A shuriken? My Wii is not that sharp.
Are you okay?
It's not that sharp. What the hell? If it could go through a CRT, then maybe it could go through someone's heart. Maybe you shouldn't be playing with it. Jesus Christ. And I'm looking at this thing. It doesn't have a strap, obviously, because the strap broke off. Or maybe the person broke it off themselves because they were like, I don't need the strap. Just gets in the way.
Right.
There's a possibility for that. Ugh, these people are stupid. Anyway, Fox News actually on Friday broke the news. There's a serious defect, and here's the irresponsibility of their reporting. There is a malfunction with the Wii that you have to know about before you pick it up as a Christmas gift. A malfunction, okay? So I'm thinking,
malfunction.
Yeah, it showed nipple. Whatchamacallit? Okay, maybe they're talking about, the disk drive is failing, or maybe they're talking about, if you play backwards compatible games, something shorts out, or, maybe they're talking about if you put in a SD card, there's a problem removing it, or it breaks, or something like that, right? A malfunction. Not a human error. Not a fucking stupidity fucking issue, They should, don't be irresponsible. Call it what it is, okay? There's a huge problem with dumbass people playing the Wii, And before you buy it as a Christmas gift, make sure the person you're buying it for is not a dumbass, That's what they should qualify the story as. Instead, they're saying, sweaty hands contributed to the Wii remotes flying out of their hands and stuff like that. And people are complaining of joint issues. But
joint issues
because of the movements of the remotes that they have to make and stuff like that, which means that somebody is playing boxing like they're fucking girl fighting. I'm not sure. I can't explain it. Anyway, Jody Applegate said was according to the joint problems was that maybe you shouldn't be playing it 8 hours. So, I think so. If you're having joint problems, maybe you shouldn't be playing it for 8 hours. There you go.
Before I go into my assessment, I just linked you guys to a Penny Arcade comic on this subject. Mm-hmm. it, for anybody who's listening, it's at pennyarcade.com, penny-arcade.com, and the comic's title is Lubricado. You can find it in the archives. It is the comic for November 29th. And the first frame, it's got this guy going, I'm telling you, man, the Wiimote just slipped right out of my hand and broke my TV. And his friend's like, what were you doing before? And the other guy goes, I don't know, just regular stuff. And the next frame, he's holding a bunch of greasy snails. Says, I mean, I guess I played with a bunch of snails. That's not weird. Then I buttered myself up and sat down in a kiddie pool full of Astroglide to play some Zelda. And it shows a picture of him naked in a pool of Astroglide with butter on his head and his butt crack, and it's pretty disturbing.
Oh, my
but,
God.
But, you know, the point is made. Yeah, what the hell have you been doing to have this shit slide out of hand? Now, there are two sides to this thing, and I'll go with, you know, the common view, which is yours, and, you know, it's people are just dumb. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry if you're offended, but if you're letting this thing slip out of your hand, then you really just don't have a good grip, and you just don't know how to play games. It's I don't understand how anybody could so easily let go. My sister, who hasn't played video games in years, has no problem keeping control over it. You know why? Because we read the instruction booklet of Wii Sports that says, with every sport, swing gently. Swing gently. Not hack it. Not throw it. Swing gently. Now, anybody who's going to start suing over this shit is the same type of person who sues McDonald's because they had their hot coffee cup in between their knees while they were driving the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. The lady
because it's too hot!
The lady spilled her coffee because it was between her legs while she was driving. Not because there was no warning on the cup that says, contents may be hot, be careful, but because she was an idiot. Now we see cups with caution, contents may be hot, which isn't a bad thing. I don't mind. That's actually a good thing. But the reason why this came about was because of stupidity, not because it's a legitimate fault of McDonald's coffee. Now you're telling me that because you can't hold on to something and you play with the freaking strength of a fucking baboon in order to...
Yeah, those motherfuckers
are
strong.
That you will be throwing stuff that'll be hard enough to break the strap on the controller? What are you doing?
And break things that the remote flies into?
And the TV, yeah, what are you doing? Okay, look, I was watching a 1UP, 1UP.com has a lot of videos, and one of the video features they did was Wii experiments, where they were playing around with the Wii trying to break it and stuff. They were putting, like, peanut butter on the sensor bar to make sure it wouldn't work. And it doesn't work with peanut butter on the sensor bar, so don't put peanut butter on your sensor bars. I guess you could sue over that, because that's not the instruction booklet, is it now?
Right.
But,
right.
Fucking idiots.
Or if you get the sensor bar stuck on your in your ass because you accidentally sat on it.
You can only use two candles.
But anyway, so like one of the experiences they did was, you know, like they were throwing the remote at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them threw it with, like, you know, threw it half gently, like you would normally bowl with the Wiimote. Not real bowl, but bowl in the video game. And, like, you know, it didn't break. Then the other one, she kind of chucked it pretty hard at the wall, and it lost its batteries.
Mm-hmm.
But after she put them back in, the controller was still working.
Okay.
Excuse me. Now, when you throw it that hard to let loose the battery case, you know, you'd think that you're doing a little bit too hard.
Right.
Okay? Or you wouldn't think that, you know, even at that level of speed and strength, that it would crack a TV screen. Those things are pretty sturdy. You're not launching a freaking rock into the screen. So what are they doing?
Well, I think because this is a new technology for most people, they actually think that the game doesn't register the movements of the handle so much as the energy you're putting on it.
And actually, and the funny thing is that leads directly into, you know, my kind of devil's advocate thing on the other side of the story. And it's not necessarily devil's advocate, because I do believe that there is some fault with Nintendo, but, you know, let me finish first before I actually get slaughtered by you guys. People are idiots. People are really stupid. This whole thing is coming up because people just do not know their fucking elbow from their ass. But as a company who makes, you know, user-friendly things, Nintendo isn't responsible for these people, but they are responsible for making the thing idiot-proof.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, lo and behold, last week they started already shipping Wiimotes with thicker straps.
Wow.
Much thicker cords on the straps. Now, given that level of response, you gotta think that, yeah, they did mess up somewhere over there. Alright? They did, you know, not that they could have predicted that people would be throwing the shit because they're idiots, but they should have tried to, you know, examine the extreme circumstances and shipped it with a stronger strap altogether.
Yeah.
And I took a look at the picture of the bigger straps, and they are a lot thicker. They do look a lot more sturdy, and it's like, you know what? You could have done this in the first place. Because if you look, like, when I, even when I saw the strap, the cord holding the strap to the unit, that was a lot thinner than I thought it would be. And I looked at it, and I was like, huh, this looks kind of flimsy. But that's okay, because I'm smart. You know? And the other thing is, if you take a look at the advertisements, you know, because the whole thing is to advertise how fun it is to use this with real motion, obviously they had people in the commercial swinging it like a baseball bat, swinging it like a tennis racket, and swinging the golf club like a golf club. I mean, they don't really make it fast because the whole, you know, all the video is in slow motion. But it's enough to give the non-gamer, who is one of the target markets that they're going for, the impression that, yes, you swing this like a baseball bat. Look at the commercial. You swing it like a baseball bat. And so the person picks the thing up.
Or you can shake it like a shell shaker.
So the person picks up the remote and is like, oh.
Or shake it like a retard.
So swing it like a baseball bat. And, like, they swing it just as hard. And, like, yeah, it sounds kind of retarded. But when you advertise something like that, you do take some of that responsibility on yourself by advertising it that way. Mm-hmm. You do. It's a fact. Like, we can sit here and claim that people are retards all day and we'll be correct. But that doesn't change the fact that when you advertise something like this, you run the risk of people getting misled. So it's either false advertising or irresponsible advertising on their part. And they should have done, they should have made a bigger effort, you know, with everything to say swing gently. Like, in the game, it does not say swing gently. Well, it might in the instructions, but, you know, given as many warnings as they give you to please put on the wrist strap, please press A when you put on the wrist strap, please make sure it's secure. They could have gone the extra mile and put down there, please make sure the wrist strap is secure and remember to swing only gently. Mm-hmm. It's just one small thing. It sounds kind of nitpicky, but it could help. So while I think that, you know, people need to get a brain, these companies should take a step forward in, you know, just recognizing that people are dumb and that people will mess things up and that people will come back to bite them in the ass because of their own misgivings, because of their own faults. And it'll take a lot for a big company to defend itself, and they should have anticipated that for their own good as well as the good of others. I mean, when you advertise these things, just say, like, you know, swing gently. Just emphasize, read the instruction manual. Mm-hmm. Swing gently. And I can't say enough to other people about not reading manuals. When you come to a new thing like this, and when you're not a gamer and you start picking this thing up, read the fucking manual. That's what
RT... I'm a gamer and I read the manual.
Yeah, just read it. But on the other side, you know, companies be a little bit more responsible. You know, I'm taking the side of the big company in this case, you know. I mean, like, I feel like if someone yanks their DualShock... Yeah. No, I'm sorry, not DualShock. Their six-axis PlayStation 3 controller.
Palindrome! It's a palindrome!
It is cool! Yeah, that's right.
It's a cool!
But the USB cord that charges up the six-axis controller for the PlayStation 3 is very short.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine some nitwit charging his controller and trying to play the PlayStation 3 at the same time. While charging his controller with a short S cord, getting excited with the 6-axis controller, yanking it up, playing Tony Hawk or something, and then yanking the PlayStation 3 onto his foot and breaking his foot. Now, what is he going to do? Run to fucking Sony and ask them to pay for his hospital bill? No! If you're charging your controller up and the cord is short, don't play for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be an idiot. I'm sorry. Like, this is not a Nintendo thing. This is general. Sony should not be to blame for you dropping your PS3 because the cord's too short. They should be blamed for the cord being too short in the first place, but they shouldn't be blamed because you're an idiot and tried to yank your freaking controller.
Well, that's the problem. This country's way too litigious for way too many reasons. And a lot of these cases just... Dude, there's a lot of frivolous cases thrown out. And this is just going to be one of them. Unless someone could actually prove that Nintendo was negligent in the design of the twine that holds the Wii remote, you know, and that caused for serious bodily harm or property damage, then they have no fucking case. Listen, I got a PSP that came with a strap. The cord on that is not much thicker than a Wii remote. And guess what? Even though this is not, you know, movement sensitive and stuff like that, I have the strap on. Why? Because if for some reason I do drop the thing, it's going to be on a strap.
Right.
But I'm not going to be swinging it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The strap's going to hold on to this thing the way it's specified to.
Right.
Okay? So for the Wii remote, with this little bit of twine, it was specified to hold that. If you lose your grip, if the handle somehow becomes dislodged from your hand, it won't drop to the floor. You know, same thing with the nunchuck. Okay, it's on that wire, and they tell you to wrap the twine around there, just in case if you drop the nunchuck and it becomes dislodged from the sensor bar, it's still on that piece of twine, so maybe the damage will be minimal. Okay, not not for you to fucking throw a 90 mile per hour fastball. What the fuck? You know?
No, no, no. 100 mile an hour fastball.
Oh. Like they had a fucking radar gun to clock that. Stupid. You know? They're stupid.
All I'm saying, it's funny on the comments on blogs like Joystick and, you know, all the blogs that I've been on that I've commented on, people have come back to me and say, no, you're wrong. You have a stupid metaphor. Blah, 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 blah. Like, Nintendo should be responsible for people not throwing stuff. I'm like, no, you're wrong, okay? Proper use. That's the key here. It's proper use. A company can't always safeguard against improper use, okay? It's like, you know, saying that the strap on your cell phone, for example, is defective because you decided to throw your cell phone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and like I know that people are going to say, yeah, but you know the way that the commercials make you think that you can do all this stuff. And yes, like I said, I agree that the commercials aren't necessarily responsible. Mm-hmm. But again, they say in the instruction booklet, swing gently.
Mm-hmm.
They stress that. So mm-hmm. You know, like if you're one who's droning out to commercials anyway, then you got another problem altogether.
Right.
But let's put that one to bed. I think we're running fast on time here, but do any of you guys have any closing remarks? Any of the things that we've discussed today, anything, any of the news stories?
No, I just wanted to quickly put this guy who made the the arcade in a box
Arcade in a box. Why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, this guy made an thing called Arcade in a Box, which is basically a system that can play nostalgic arcade games, you know, from the 80s and stuff like that. Like, they don't have it already available for, like, PCs and stuff like that. Like, you haven't played these games on other mediums. But anyway, he's selling his Arcade in a Box things. One of them sells for $4.49. It doesn't specify which games come for it, okay?
And that would actually be a little reasonable. Like, and if you have a custom-made box with a whole bunch of games, I could see that.
Yeah, and it uses motherboards found in the arcade system. Right. So I guess that justifies the price, okay?
But again, there's something else that's making us laugh, huh?
Anybody familiar with the Neo Geo system that was around in the 90s that was a huge, colossal failure?
Pro Mega Gear Spec. It wasn't necessarily a failure as much as it remained a niche product, really.
Right.
Exactly.
So anybody who remembers, the system was an exorbitant amount of money for $5.99. Yeah. And that the games themselves were an exorbitant price, $200 per game. Okay. You'll remember that how expensive it was, and that wasn't a selling point for you then. Now this guy has a brilliant idea to bring back the Neo Geo system at the price of $6.49. What does it do? It plays the Neo Geo game cartridges. Yay! Wow, what a brilliant thing. That's great. That's fantastic. We got to applaud this guy. Everybody applaud. Brilliant marketing.
Clap,
brilliant
clap,
marketing.
Clap.
Yeah, so anybody got any comment on that?
I just go real quickly. I guess, like, I think what we're paying for is the service, like, you know, the work that he puts into it, just putting into it. But, like, the Neo Geo, I think what he's doing is taking a Neo Geo arcade motherboard, if I'm not mistaken, and putting the games into that. First of all, even if we're going by yesterday's prices, the arcade motherboards, you know, putting together an arcade system is much cheaper. You know, because the home system, yeah, that was expensive. But if you bought your motherboard from an arcade operator and you bought the games from an arcade operator, those are cheaper. And perhaps because of the circumstances in which the arcade operator says, hey, I want to get rid of this, I'll give it to you for cheap. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that it is cheaper. And to kind of like, I don't know, put this out for $6.49 again. Well, here's the thing. What games is it? What games play on?
That's another point. Does it come with other arcade games?
Does it specify that in the article at all?
Not at all.
Nope.
Because
no,
if he's
the Neo Geo system.
If he's giving you that with a bunch of games all for $6.49, then that's not a bad deal. I don't think it is.
But all it says is a console which plays Neo Geo game cartridges. So he could be selling the cartridges for $2.50.
Well, we gotta see. Yeah. At first, I thought this guy was a loon, but now that he might, you know, it might not be that crazy. Let's take a look. Al, why don't you go ahead while I'm taking a look at this with your thoughts?
I don't know. I don't really have much to say about it except for the fact that it costs the exact same amount as it did in 1980 something or other.
Yep. I think what makes it reasonable is that A, it's considered a quote unquote retro product, so it's a little bit of a novelty. B.
Yeah, you, if you want that, you go on eBay and try to buy the actual Neo Geo system, not this.
It'd probably be cheaper.
Yeah.
Well, also B, like, I guess. Well, I mean, this doesn't really help that argument at all. But like, it standard. I guess pricing has gone down a little bit, like with inflation and all that shit. So $200 today isn't as expensive as $200 back then, but still, it is kind of exorbitant. I do agree. Let's see. The Arcade in a Box model, Gemma in a Box, and the Neo Geo MVS system. That's the arcade system. And it, it doesn't specify, you're right, so we don't know if you have to buy the cartridges. If you're going to play Neo Geo game cartridges, you know what, actually? I've been researching this, I was researching this topic a couple of years ago on how to turn, like, you know, Neo Geo systems for home use and, like, whether or not to buy a home machine or an arcade machine.
Right, okay.
And I heard that, in passing, I've seen that it's actually illegal to modify your MVS system to play home cartridges.
Really?
Yeah, because it costs less.
It's illegal, so what this guy is doing isn't exactly up to snuff, unless the cartridges he's talking about are the arcade cartridges, or Neo Geo's whole legality is different nowadays, because when I read this was 3 years ago. And since then, Neo Geo, SNK had gone out of business and is now reborn as SNK Playmore, so they're a different company. So who knows what happens with that. But I don't know. That's interesting. You gotta see. And then the Arcade in the Box model is a Windows-based personal computer. now, like, a lot of it's emulated, and emulation is still illegal in many circles. Therefore, I don't know what this guy thinks he's doing.
I don't know either.
Some games, Atari games, like the old Atari shit, they released them to public domain, I believe. I believe they released them to public domain. I could be wrong. But some of the old arcade games are available. Some of the old arcade games are free. Others are not. I'm pretty sure that, for example, the old Contra arcade game is not free for use.
Okay.
I know for a fact that the Neo Geo games are not free for use. You download them, you're breaking the law. So, I don't know what this guy's trying to do. It's funny, I've seen on eBay, you know, people auctioning off these CDs and say, install the CD in Windows and play hundreds and hundreds of old Super Nintendo classic Sega Genesis games. And I'm just like, yeah, they're going to get caught and, like, booted off eBay.
Exactly.
So we'll just see what happens with this guy.
I don't know. I think it's we have to call him a marketing genius. I mean, bringing out a system that's 16 years old to do the same thing it did back then for the same price? Awesome! Wow. Okay, I'm done.
I'm done, people. I checked the mailbag, and of course, as usual, nobody wrote in because you're all pieces of shit.
That's probably why they don't mail.
But in case you decide to come to your senses and be someone who's actually worthy of our time and money, because I do pay for this shit out of pocket. The email address is mailbag@trygames.net, and that is not MALE bag. Although
it's
as much as you want it to be, it is not. MAILBAG at, what is it, Tony? There you go. So for Tony and Al and the ever-absent Ethan, who is off getting his wiener stuck in some kind of server.
He's farming. He's being a corporate workhorse.
Yeah, he got his ball stuck in the CD tray. I have been your host, Chuparito, and this is the cast of... Shit! Okay.